My guest at this time is Larry Sabatow, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. He's also the director of UVA's Center for Politics and the author most recently of The Year of Obama, which is now available in paperback. That's a look at the 2008 presidential elections. We've gotten a few more clues as to how things might turn out in the 2010 midterms following a series of critical primaries in a number of states on Tuesday. And Larry, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Greg. Great to be with you.
Well, the marquee matchup, of course, seemed to be the Pennsylvania Democratic Senate primary as Arlen Specter, in a bid for a sixth term, but for the first time running as a Democrat, lost and lost relatively soundly to Congressman Joe Sestak. This was one of the races that the Republicans thought they might have a pickup. Now there's some talk, of course, that the Democrats actually improved their chances of holding the seat. What did you see more than anything else in that primary on Tuesday night?
I saw the voters displaying a strong case of Specter fatigue. And let's remember something. Had Specter run as a Republican, he would have lost overwhelmingly to Pat Toomey in the GOP primary. 6 years ago, he almost lost 51-49 to Pat Toomey. 6 years later, he's older. He's had a lot more controversies. He would have gone down. So what that really tells you is Specter would have been defeated either in the Republican primary or in the Democratic primary, which he was. So that's the end of his career. Now, you're absolutely correct. Specter was a sitting duck for Toomey in the fall. I think Toomey would have beaten him like a drum. And now Toomey has a much stronger candidate, somebody that's gotten a real boost out of this primary. So I think right now I'd call it a toss-up. I would have called it lean Republican before. It may well settle back in there before it's over. But that is a stronger chance for Democrats than we saw prior to the primary. So this is a good case of a primary making a difference.
Well, let's move over to Arkansas, Larry, where two-term incumbent Democrat Blanche Lincoln running in her state's Democratic primary against the Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter, as well as a third candidate. And because of that third candidate, Blanche Lincoln failed to get to the magical 50% plus one status that would have prevented a runoff on June 8th. She only beat Halter 45-43. Now that it's down to two, what kind of odds do you give her come June?
I don't know what her odds are in June. I think her odds of retaining the Senate seat are very, very low. Congressman John Bozeman, got 53% against eight candidates to win the Republican nomination. He doesn't have a runoff. That's a 59% McCain state. I think it's very likely to end up in the Republican column. Blanche Lincoln has been greatly weakened, some by her own actions, some by the Halter challenge, some by the fact that she just doesn't fit Arkansas in this particular year. Boy, what a weak showing. As an incumbent with all the advantages she's had, and after all these years in both the House and the Senate, 45-43. Embarrassing. It's just an embarrassing showing.
Another state with a big primary on the ballot, of course, was Kentucky. There was no incumbent on the ballot since Jim Bunning is retiring, but you wouldn't know it by how the story's been characterized, because Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the U.S. Senate and really the leader of the Republican Party in Kentucky, although it doesn't officially hold that title, handpicked Trey Grayson, the Secretary of State, to run for that seat, trounced by more than 20 points by Rand Paul, who is not ashamed to be affiliated with the Tea Party movement. Is this basically an anti-incumbent mood, even though there's no incumbent in Kentucky? How do you read this one?
Well, the beating that Rand Paul administered to Mitch McConnell and Trey Grayson, who was his protege, is even worse than you described, and here's why. In order to participate in this primary, you had to be a registered Republican, and you could not change your registration after the end of the year and still last year and still participate in this primary. So the whole setup was designed to guarantee that Mitch McConnell's candidate would win, and he lost in a massive landslide. There is no more unhappy person in Kentucky than Mitch McConnell. His opponents say he got his comeuppance. I would say he's wily and he'll bounce back. But boy, has he got troubles, because either a Democrat's going to win that seat, Jack Conway, and I think it's a competitive race, or Rand Paul is going to win it and cause McConnell fits. And remember, McConnell's a minority leader. Rand Paul has indicated that his vote for a minority leader is, shall we say, less than decided. So this is going to be kind of amusing. In fact, I looked through all the Senate delegations last night just to get a sense of it. If Rand Paul wins and serves with McConnell, of all the states that have two senators of the same party, this will be the ultimate odd couple. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Fun for you and me, maybe not for Mitch McConnell, but we'll see if Rand Paul gets there. Larry, there was only one major head-to-head Republican versus Democrat matchup last night, and that was in Pennsylvania's 12th congressional district to fill the remaining months of the term of the late Jack Murtha. It was the Democrat and Murtha's former staffer, Mark Kritz, who ended up with a surprisingly big win over the Republican Tim Burns, who had also associated himself with the Tea Party. Should this dampen Republican expectations for the fall, or is it not smart to read too much into one race?
I always argue that you shouldn't read too much into one race, but I'm going to add this. No matter what you're hearing today, and lots of excuses are being made, I can tell you for a fact that behind the scenes, senior Republican leaders are close to distraught, whether they're admitting it or not. They expected to win that one. They should have won it, given the territory. You know, people are saying, oh, it had a 20% Democratic registration age. Registration means nothing. This was the only district in the country that switched from John Kerry in 2004 to John McCain in 2008. It is prime, hard scrabble, a blue dog, Democrat territory that can switch to the GOP. And if they don't win districts like this in November, they're not going to win nearly the number of seats they expect. And the GOP leadership knows it. They told me on Tuesday that they were confident of winning it, but if they lost it, it would be one of those squeakers within like 200 votes. Not quite. It was a near landslide for the Democrats.
Well, one more question before we let you go, Larry, and this does not relate to a race that happened on Tuesday, but he certainly made news on Tuesday, and that's Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal admitting that he had misspoken at times about his service in Vietnam, claiming in certain public appearances that he had served there when he hadn't. He'd been in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve. A couple of snap polls have that race now suddenly competitive again. Do you see this problem having legs for Blumenthal, or is this a relatively minor bump in the road to him winning Chris Dodd's seat?
I don't know whether it's going to be a minor bump, but it shouldn't be. That was a lie. You know, there are a lot of different forms of misspeak, and I'm familiar with all of them because I cover politics. And some genuinely are just gaffes and goofs. There is absolutely no way that he did not intentionally say what he said. Absolutely no way. And remember, there are other instances for him of resume enhancement, like claiming to be the swim team captain at Harvard when he wasn't even on the swim team. So it's amazing to me that so many people are defending him. I'm shocked. And it tells you where standards are today in our society, quite frankly.
Well, we'll keep track of that race, which had seemed to be safely Democratic, but we'll see, again, how much staying power this story has in that particular contest. Larry, as we said before, it's going to be a fun and unpredictable year. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thank you, Greg. Take care now.
Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia, also director of UVA's Center for Politics. His most recent book, now available in paperback, is The Year of Obama.